So if you do want more, there's plenty of food. If you guys want more food, please go get seconds, thirds, fourths, whatever it is. There's plenty of eggs and stuff. Just make sure you go through and thank them, you know, for serving and doing, you know, getting here early and all that stuff. Just give them a shout. Tell them thank you. And, Dave for picking up all the food all week and coming in here and do I? Oh yeah, for sure. You can eat as much as you want to. That's your obligation. But yeah, as long as that shovel fits in your hands, yeah, you can nap during this time. You got 25 minutes to get in a nap, and then we're gonna get to work. So just however you feel after that is on you. It's what my job tells me after I eat lunch, and I don't feel like doing nothing. It's like I still have to do my job, which is dumb, by the way. Anyways, yeah, just tell them thank you when you go through there and just give your hospitality. Thank you, Caleb, too, for getting the sound, the lights, and then thank Live Issues and Steve for getting all the tables set up. Just thank everybody that you see. How about that? That's easier. Just thank everyone.
How about just thank the whole church?
There you go. Just thank the whole church. Everybody walk by, just say thank you because you don't know what they did. I don't know what they did. So, but today, it is co-ed, so normally I teach for the men's breakfast, which is every third Saturday. This time of year, or once a year, we do, for the month of March, we do a co-ed breakfast because there's a work day to follow. So if we just did the men, well, then that eliminates helping hands, right? You take out the women, or they show up later. So it's just, we really combine them, and that gives everybody the fellowship together and have a really good breakfast before we go put you to work and sweat. So, also, another thanks to the obviously God for. I mean, the weather outside is supposed to be beautiful today. No rain. I mean, no clouds, no nothing. So there's really a lot to be thankful for. But I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll get started so I can get it finished in time ish. So thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for just this time, Lord, just this opportunity to teach, this opportunity to. Really just jump into your word and to not only just hear it and see it and read it, but to apply it. Just thank you for all the hands that are here to put to the plow, as I said earlier. And just thankful for you. Thank you for the weather. Thank you for the team. Thank you for this church building. And as we just pick apart your word to see what you say about workmanship, Lord, and how it applies to us today, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, and we love you. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about workmanship. I've been reading through the Bible cover to cover, and it was sometime last year, obviously after the last year's workday, I came across Exodus. So if you guys want to flip over to Exodus 31, I know you're eating, so eat by all means. Don't let me interrupt that. Don't get food all over your Bible. I don't know if you want to read that gravy spot here in a couple months or whenever. So, but if you're not eating and you want to, flip to Exodus 31. We're going to talk about a gentleman that is only mentioned he's mentioned in Exodus, but he's mentioned later on. But every time his name is mentioned, it is to deal with workmanship. And that kind of fits into today. That fits into why we're here. That fits into our purpose for selecting this one day for the church body to come together and to, you know, once again, we are the church as individuals to carry outside of the church building. But and we'll kind of discuss that a little bit, but we are blessed with this building. And so, you know, as you know, we have the deacons come in with their geo sections once a week to clean it. And then we have today, you know, we have guys like Don, who is retired, and he mows throughout the week. And there's always stuff going on behind closed doors that you don't see that are being taken care of. You know, painting, windows, Steve, the facilities. He puts a lot of work into plumbing, and there's just a lot of things that we don't know about because we're not here every single day other than Luke. Like Luke knows that because he schedules it, and Steve's his dad. So there's that. But other than that, nobody really sees it. I don't see it from my house. You know, I don't know who's here on a daily basis. I know who's here on Wednesdays and who's here on Sundays. That's about it. But there's always stuff going on behind closed doors that we don't know about. And it takes all of us to do that. It takes Luke to make phone calls. It takes, the church body to recognize things that are not, you know, that are broken or that need fixed to tell Luke, hey, we have this going on, or to tell Steve. So it takes a whole crew of us, which I'll get into here in a little bit, but I want to talk about workmanship. because that's what today is about. Today's about work. It's about, you know, fellowshipping. Yes, that's great. But it's also about fellowshipping while we work. Kind of like the Seven Dwarfs, however that song goes. Is it the Dwarfs? Snow White. Never mind. So that's Whistle While You Work. Never mind. Well, we're going to fellowship while we work. So we're going to change it. But we're going to talk about workmanship. And the first workmanship, or the first mention of workmanship, is in Exodus 31. And it said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." So there's the first mention of workmanship, but it also goes along with the first mention of Bezalel. And then if we read on, it says in verse 4, it says, "To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them in the carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." And in verse 6 says, "And I behold, I have given with him Aholiab." I'm going to butcher that every time I say it today. You know how many times I listen to a Google translator tell me how to say that? Because I've said it different every time. So there's a fun fact. Aholiab, the son of Ahazamach. There's that one for you. "And of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make that all that I have commanded thee." And then verse 7 is the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. So they're workmen. So if you look at verse 1, it said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying." So that is the Lord calling Bezalel and his buddy, Aholiab. I cannot say that. he's calling them specifically because they're willing-hearted. And it says it in the verses to follow. And so that's what we're here to do today, right? I mean, maybe God didn't call you specifically to come here and do this. You're just doing it out of kindness of your heart. But that's willing-hearted. You're willingly coming in here on a Saturday morning when it's supposed to be 70 degrees outside. And you guys are willing to put your hands on a shovel after eating a full breakfast and, you know, spend the day just to make the church look nice. Obviously, we all know that Pastor Brian, who just showed up. Hi, Pastor Brian. Pastor Brian can't do all of this by himself. He can't pastor a church just by himself. He can't teach in here, teach in the kids' E-wing. He can't, you know, put mulch down on the whole property, mow the whole property every single day. Like, it's just not physically possible for Brian to do it. So he's distributing the work to the pastoral team, to the deacons, to the church congregation. And that's how, you know, that's where the term many, many hands make light work. And so that's the purpose of workmanship. The definition of workmanship is something made, particularly by manual labor, the skill of a workman or the execution of manner of making anything. It's just manual labor. It's a workman. So what I really want to focus on today with the time that I do have, it's very short, but I want to focus on the tabernacle. The definition of a tabernacle is a place of worship, a sacred place. So a tabernacle in this chapter 31 is a tent. If you go back to Exodus 26, I believe, it will give, no, not 26. Oh, that's Genesis. It's not going to be a Genesis 26. Hold on. 26, it gives us the, if you want to read, oh gosh, I keep going back all the way to Genesis. If you want to read through that, that gives you the very, very specific, daunting details of a tabernacle that they are building and the sizes that it is, the cubits, all the way down from the curtains, the curtain rods, the color of the curtains, and, you know, and you want to start there from 26 and then read the rest of Exodus, it gives you all the workmen, all the work that goes into building a tabernacle and the sizes and the details if you're really wanting to know what that involves. But this is our tabernacle. This is what God has given us as our place of worship. This is our sacred place. And it is our duty as a workman to keep this place not only clean, but to keep the lights on, to keep, you know, everything running smoothly, and to keep faculty here, to keep, you know, Luke and Brianna, to keep making phone calls, to keep doing all the things. It takes a crew of people. But we have to take care of our tabernacle, and that's the purpose of this workmanship. It is Bezalel coming in and being called out by name to take care of the tabernacle with a willing heart. So we have two types of a tabernacle, if we use it to ourselves, right? We have a physical tabernacle, that's this body, or your body, and then you have a spiritual tabernacle. And the physical tabernacle, once again, I told you Exodus 26 gives you the details of that, but in Acts 5:42, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So it's the in a daily in the temple in every house. It's a location, right? That's a physical tabernacle. And then 1 Timothy 3:15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of the truth." That's how you're, it says that's how you're supposed to behave in the house of God. So the house of God is the tabernacle. Look over in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 1 through 6. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, also as also Moses was faithful in all his house." So this goes back to Moses, where we were just talking in Exodus 31, where God called, spoke to Moses about calling out, or calling for Bezalel. And it says, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God," or built all things is God. So every house is builded by some man. Yes. I mean, you could talk to Jason, you could talk to other people who are in that construction field of, or carpentry, that build houses by hand. But the key part to that is, it says, "But he that built all things is God." And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as soon, or a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So we have, right there, it says that we have this tabernacle here, that we will have, you know, people come in, people go out. It's just the way the church works, obviously. But, you know, holidays, like I said, Easter, you know, pray for Easter, because that's when we get a lot of our guests. There's a lot of families out there that only go to church twice a year, Easter and Christmas. That's just how they operate. They just think that they have to go. You know, a girl I work with actually said the same thing. She was raised Catholic, but she said, "Oh, I need to go on Easter." You know, that, and then, you know, of course, kind of follows Christmas. So it clicked right there that there's a lot of families that their fathers or their moms take them to church because it's the right thing to do. It's how they were raised. They went to church on Easter. They went to church on Christmas. But my point to that is, like, Easter, we're going to have a lot of people in here. And you think that if we didn't have anybody come in here and clean up, that we just came in, heard the church service, and left. Nobody ever vacuumed. Nobody ever did anything. And then, you know, this once a year co-ed work day, if nobody did anything to the outside, nobody changed the mulch, nobody mowed the grass, we just let it all go. How do you think God would bless this building? Because we're not taking care. Do it at your house and see. Yeah, faith with least, faith with much. Go home and do that and see how chaotic, like, my house is. We clean our house. I say we. I'm going to take that back. My wife cleans the house multiple times a day. She could sweep the living room 5 times. Doesn't matter. And then yet we're still sweeping it after the kids go to bed. That's just the way it is. But if we didn't do that, could you imagine the things that would just build up and build up? But how is that taking care of your tabernacle? How is that taking care of what God gave you? And obviously this is a bigger building, but that's the same concept. Like, if you don't take care of the least, which is your home, and then you come into your place of worship, like, this, it's faith world much. You have least and you have much. So if you're going to take care of one, you got to take care of the other. And so that's why it's important to realize just how, you know, the putting your hands to cleaning. I'm not saying, I mean, obviously my wife cleans more than I do. She is home more than I am. But in the evenings, it's, I get home from work and then, you know, we eat dinner and then the kids go to bed shortly after. And then guess what? I'm helping my wife clean. It's just the way our household works. Some people would say, oh, why don't you just take a break? Well, that's because my wife didn't get to take a break during the day. Why do I get to? You know, just because I was at work, what are you saying? She was not at work. And so there's a lot of those variables, but my point to that is it takes the team. And that's the, I'll get to that here in a second too with Bezalel and Aholiab. The purpose of them being together, mentioned together in the same chapter right out the gate. So we went over the physical tabernacle. We're in it. We're standing in it. But now we have a spiritual tabernacle. That is us. That is our bodies. That is the spirit that dwells within us. Look over at 2 Corinthians, please. I'll try to make this a little quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we're going to start in verse 18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then you go down to chapter 5, verse 1. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. So the spiritual tabernacle is not made with hands. It's not made with, you know, like I said in the verse earlier that, which verse was that? That was, I think it was in Hebrews. But it's the hands that put the, or build the house, and then, you know, all things are made with God. That's the same thing. It's not, this dwells within you personally, not a building, not, you know, not anything else. So, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, you know ye are not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So it dwells in you, that you are the temple. And then flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not, not your own. And then, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So we are here to, today especially, to take care of the tabernacle, the physical building that God has given us. And then we also have to take care of our own physical body. You know, like, obviously, I do a really good job at that, as you can tell. I hit the gym a lot, let me tell you. I do not, by the way. But we are to take care of our physical body, because it is His, just as like this building is His, and He has blessed us with it. But it's our duty to know that we have to invest in this spiritual temple just as we invest in this physical temple, with reading and just investing your relationship with Christ. It all falls in line together. You read daily, you pray daily, you pray for other people daily. That's investing in your spiritual temple with your Holy Spirit. And then you come in here and you invest in the physical building that God has given us. So to wrap this up, I want to talk about Bezalel and Oholiab, how they were mentioned together. So if you flip back over to Exodus 31 real quick. Exodus 31. In verse 2 it says, see, I have called by name Bezalel. And then if you look down in verse 6, it says, and behold, I have given with him Aholiab. So if you look, Aholiab is never mentioned without Bezalel first. He is not mentioned by himself. Bezalel is mentioned by himself a couple times throughout Scripture. But Aholiab is not. He is only mentioned with Bezalel. And they are, obviously they're both men because it says the son of on both of them. But, so they're not a married couple, but they are workmen. And that is who God has put together, you know, to work together, to put their hands on the plow. Obviously, if you, look over at 1 Corinthians Sorry, I know we're flipping quite a bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to see the comparison here. As soon as I get to it. Verse 3. And then, chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" So you have Paul, you have Apollos. Just like, when we were going through discipleship in D2 with Jason and Paige, Jason used to always refer, as you're growing spiritually into the Lord, you always want to have a Paul. You know, Paul is somebody that Timothy looked up to. And mentor, Paul was Timothy's mentor. But then you also want to have a Timothy. You always want to have somebody you're investing in. So you have somebody as a Paul who is investing in you, and then you have a Timothy who you're investing in. And then it just keeps going down the line because that person has a Paul, that person has a Timothy. That's discipleship. That is investing everything that you're learning, everything that you're going through in daily life. That is that investment. That's a Bezalel and a Holiab, I can't say it every time. But, so we see here in verse 5, it says, "Who is then Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers?" And then verse 6 says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Always keep that in mind. Anything that is a blessing, it was not done by you. God gave the increase. And then so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither that he watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Pretty sure when the Bible says it back to back in verses, you might want to pay attention to that. Because it's just in case you forgot it the first time, we're going to say it one more time in the next verse. But God giveth the increase. And then verse 8 says, "Now that he planteth, and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." So, once again, God gave the increase, but also God gave Bezalel Aholiab, and gave Aholiab Bezalel to work together. Go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I love this verse. This is probably one of my favorite verses that I'm having to flip to and read because I don't have it memorized, but I'm going to pay attention to that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If you were here a couple years ago, or was it last year? Mike Blake taught on this at the Vision Conference, and then he expounded it really, really well with the churches as church planters coming together to edify one another in accountability. And it says, chapter 4, verse 9, says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." And then verse 11, it says again, "If two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone?" That was probably I love Mike Blake. I love Mike Blake because he's raw. He's real and he's emotional. To me, a pastor that gets fired up, to gets emotional at the pulpit it's not a pre-written script. That is them digging into their emotions and showing you them true selves. And Mike Blake and Tony Godfrey is the same way. And there's a list of pastors. I don't want to leave anybody out. But Mike Blake specifically, I've just grown attached to that guy's preaching. Because he's just so intimate and so passionate and raw. And he gets up here and he's just preaching away at these verses. And you know how he gave many, many stories. And I don't want to teach all that. It's actually recorded if you want to listen to it. But, he just really expounded on why it's so important for one church planter to have another church planter. Because they have rough times. And they have rough times where they need a phone call. They need something. Mike has many stories. I'm sure Brian has many, many stories. I'm sure every pastor has a story. I'm sure every person has a story to where it has come in handy to have that person, right? The person to fall on. So two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. That's Bezalel and Aholiab, because when one falls, there's somebody there to pick you up. And that's the importance of the church body. It's not just to come in and say hi to each other and then walk away. It's to have that accountability, that person to pick you up. And then Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must shew himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Like, that's pretty close. That's Bezalel and Aholiab. And then, to really wrap this up today, if you want to go read Numbers chapter 3, That's where the phrase comes, many hands make light work. And that's why we are here today, because many hands in this room get together and it makes lighter work. If Brian were to show up and just do this on his own, I'm pretty sure he'd be here a while. He should have started a long time ago. But many hands make light work. So if you go through and read Numbers 3, it starts with one person. And then by the end of the chapter, it just each verse just keeps adding people doing different things. And that's the point. That's the point of today, because God has blessed us with a physical building. It is our duty to nurture and take care of our blessing. That's what we're here to take care of. I've already covered that. Just as we take care of our own homes, but it has also given us a spiritual temple to take care of. I told you about that, is the spirit that dwells in us. But first it has to have the spiritual, or the spirit dwelling inside of it. As it says in Romans 8, verse 11, it says, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." And I'm not saying you can't do good works without the spirit dwelling in you. But at that point, what are you glorifying? You know, when you have the spirit dwelling in you, you have Christ's kingdom. You're here today to serve that purpose. You're here to represent Christ. You're here to represent HBF. If you don't have the spirit dwelling within you, then what are you representing? Yourself. I mean, like I said, it's all good works, and that's great. Makes you a great person. But at the end of the day, it doesn't secure eternity. It doesn't secure a spot for you to stand in front of Christ. It just, physically, it makes you look like a great person. But spiritually, there's a purpose. There's a purpose for us doing these things. So I want to pray real quick because my time is up. And I'll pray real quick and then we can give the reins over to Steve and see what his plans are. So, Lord, just thank you for today. Thank you for the message. Thank you for this short time to just dig into your word and make this about you, and to just really expound on Bezalel and the importance of putting two together, Lord, to work for your building. I do pray, Lord, just as everybody's got their eyes closed and just their heads bowed, Lord, just this time that they don't know who you are. They don't have that spirit dwelling within them to really just grasp the importance of just eternity and their eternity with you, Lord. And so I just pray right now for just that said person to just be bold and stand up or speak out and or raise their hand or whatever you have, Lord, to really just figure out what that spirit is that dwells in us and the purpose that we have it for, and to really just grasp their eternity to be with you instead of in hell, Lord, because that's just at the end of the day, no matter how good we are, we don't have that spirit, then that's where we're going. And so I just pray for this time, just for anyone that would want to. Once again, Lord, just thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this message. I pray that you just keep us cooled down today and just to keep us busy and give us the strength and the energy from the breakfast, Lord, to just come in and once again put our hands in shovels or put our hands on whatever it is, Lord, and just pray for Steve's direction today and his leadership as he's trying to lead a group of people to do labor, Lord. And I just pray for everybody and their safety to not be hurt, Lord. And just once again, as we're out there sweating and, you know, we're tired and everything, Lord, I just pray we keep our focus on you and the reason why we're here. Just thank you for this time and we love you. Amen. Yeah. All right, Steve's going to have a deal.
Well, thanks. Well, I know Luke, my son, has to leave in a little bit. He's got a funeral, but this is good to put the Word of God at the front of the day, isn't it? Yep. You know, I poured cement at my old house one time, and it's still there. I engraved in, I think it's 1 Samuel, where